Thank you. You may be seated. I would like to remind you that, you know, we start worship and it's usually about 20 minutes long. And if you can't stand for 20 minutes, that's totally fine. You sit whenever you need to. You're not offending anybody by doing that. It's just when you get kind of worshiping, you forget that people are standing or sitting or whatever. And so they may not ask you to be seated, but you're welcome to sit whenever you'd like. So I want to begin this morning making you feel hopefully smarter than I felt when I started this message this week with some questions. Pop quiz, here we go. Those of you who are older in the audience might know the answers to these questions. Those of us who are young who think we're smart, you might know the answer to these questions. How long was the 100-year war? Anybody know? How many? 116 years, but I don't know why they call it a 100-year war. It's like a baker's dozen, I guess. I don't know. Which country makes the Panama hat? Seems kind of obvious, doesn't it? Ecuador. All right. What kind of hair is used in a camel's hairbrush? Does anybody know? You would think camel, but it's squirrel. Believe it or not, squirrel fur. And what color is a purple finch? Anybody? Red, of course. We're getting there. You guys are, okay, here we go. Where are Chinese gooseberries from? Anyone? You guys, at least I guessed. They're from New Zealand, of course. That's why they're called Chinese gooseberries. And the last question was, how long did the 30-year war last? It was 30 years, just so you know. I just wanted us to see if we could all feel as smart as I felt on Monday when I started going through this list. Okay, so I'm going to give you a list of characteristics, and I want you to tell me who this is, if you know this person. Okay, shout out his name, and I'll give you a clue. It's a him. That's why I said his name. So it's not a woman. He was born on November 26, 1922. Okay. When he was in World War II, he wrote his son every day. Anybody know the person who I'm talking about yet? No fair Googling it. Otherwise, I'm cutting the Wi-Fi. One of his jobs was he was a teacher. He began every day reading the paper, having a cup of coffee, and eating an English muffin at an ice rink coffee shop. Sound familiar? Anybody? No? He worked 365 days a year for over 50 years. You got a guess? Getting close? I can see Shirley's eyes going, getting bigger. He was given the name. His first work appeared in the Saturday Evening Post, and he was given the name Sparky when he was 1 week old and was still called that at the age of 78. And he gave millions away to charity. He was frequently listed by Forbes magazine as one of the highest-paid entrepreneurs or highest-paid entertainers in America, alongside with Michael Jordan and Michael Jackson about 10 years ago, okay, 15 years ago. And many, many years ago, a little girl with red hair broke his heart. So he started to write about it. So you know who it is yet? He passed away from colon cancer 2 months after he retired. All this information, my wife got it right. Anybody else get it right too? Charles Schulz. You guys know who Charles Schulz is? He wrote Peanuts. So here, we're going to narrow this down a little bit more. Now that you know who I'm talking about, Here's your true question. Everybody should know the answer to these. Who always pesters her brother to help her with her homework? Is it Lucy, Peppermint Patty, Marcy, or Sally? Who? Good job. What breed of dog is Snoopy? There you go. With whom is Sally in love with? Good job. And how much did psychiatric help cost in the cartoon? 5 cents. You guys are pretty good. So you know a little bit about George Shultz. And as I started this morning, the reason we did that was because there are some things we know nothing about that we think we know about, like how long was the 100-year war. And so we think those are pretty obvious answers, and that, you know, Panama hats were not made in Panama and all that stuff. We think we know all that because it's in the title, and so we have the general. If you go to the store and you go to the Mexican section of the store and you want Mexican rice, you expect it to be from Mexico, right? When I was in Hawaii, I went to Costco to get some pineapple because I thought I wanted to eat pineapple. It was from Chile. It doesn't make any sense, but sometimes we can know by looking at things what is what. And so the Bible teaches us that God can be known by us and still not known by us. God, we can know God and we can know the Bible, but I want to look at 5 passages this morning as we begin this message. I want to look at 5 passages on just the phrase getting to know God. Let's consider these. Jeremiah 24:7. Says this, I will give them a heart to know me that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. You and I were made for a purpose, and the purpose we were made for is to know God. That's why we were put here on earth, to know him. And God has put within each of us a desire to know him. That's part of the reason I would think that you're here this morning is because you want to get to know God a little better. You're not just checking off an attendance sheet. You're here because you want to get to know God better. So if you look at John 17:3, this is what it says. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. It is our privilege to know God. It's an honor to know God. That's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, so we could get to know him. And that's what being a believer is all about. Ephesians 1:7 says, I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may what? Know him better. Get to know him better. You can always know God better than we do right now. No matter where you are, you could always get to know God better. And this should be our heart's passion. As we go through life and as we do the things we do, we go to conventions to be challenged. We go to revivals to get challenged. We go to meetings. We go to summits. We go, whatever you call them, conferences. We go there so we can get to know God better. We go away from where we are so we can be alone with God and 5,000 people to get to know him better. And that's not necessarily what we have to do to get to know God better. Psalm 9:10 says, those of you who know your name, those who know your name will trust in you. Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. God will not forsake you as long as you're looking for him. When you go to work, are you looking for Jesus to sit next to you at work? Are you looking for Jesus in the situations at work? I really wish Tammy were here this morning because she's got to praise God. She's been praying about this thing at work and she had an answer to prayer. And I want you to know the reason God answers prayer is to show us that he is truly faithful. And part of the reason is that we can get to know him better and better. Our knowledge of God should lead to greater faith and obedience. And the last verse is 2 Thessalonians 1:8. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's going to judge those who don't get to know him. So it is our desire to get other people to get to know God. Get to know God. You know, Charles Spurgeon is a famous preacher. He says, nothing will so enlarge the intellect, nothing so magnify the whole soul of a man as a devout, earnest, continued investigation of the great subject of the deity. Nothing grows you greater than getting to know God. Nothing makes you greater than getting to know the one who is greater. We are made to know God. And that's what we should aim to do in our lives. To know God is what's the best thing in life. Bringing more joy and more delight and more things and anything. What else can do that other than the knowledge of who God is? Everything else that we seek here on earth is just temporary joy. But if you seek the Lord, you'll find a fullness in joy. And I want us to know this morning, but there's a book called Knowing God that Packard wrote, and it says impossible. Listen to this. It is possible to know about God without knowing him intimately. This is where we get in trouble. People who say, I've come to Sunday school all my life. I know all those stories. And they probably have. They've heard the story of the lion's den. They've heard the story of the Daniel and the diet. They've heard the story of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the flood and all these stories in the Bible. They know the facts of all these stories, but what they don't know is the God who gifted those people. People go and study. They study philosophy all the time. They study scripture, but they don't study God. They don't get to know God. You know, just because you read the latest book or you went to a seminar doesn't mean that you know God. There are lots of people who go to seminars and go to conventions that don't really know God. I used to yearly go to, some of you may remember this, not from me personally, but the Bill Gothard Institute and Basic Youth Conflicts. Oh my word, I would go every year, and every year I would learn something new about God. And I want us to see that yes, I went every year, and every year I was challenged, but I kept going back because no matter what they taught, I still learned something new because I was still seeking God at that point in my life. But there are many people who go to those conventions and all they do is come home and see a bunch of rules. I got to take the pictures off the wall. I got to get rid of my TV. I got to get rid of the internet. I got to get rid of all those things and that's not necessarily what God's telling you to do. Maybe God's just telling you to pay more attention to him. Pay more attention to him. So there are four ways we can get to know God this morning, and this is the crux of our message. Number one is our imagination. Our imagination. The other night in Bible study for the men, we put up some pictures of what we thought God might look like. And we had six or seven pictures, and one of them was a black Jesus. One of them was a bobblehead Jesus. One of them was a cartoon Jesus that looked like South Park. And then another was just the Jesus we see with the flowing brown hair and the blue shiny eyes. We all have this imaginative look at what Jesus looks like. And we do the same thing with God. We have this imagination about what God is. And you, throughout your life, have seen God play different roles. You see God as a father. You see God as an intercessor. You see God as a doctor. You see God as a healer. You see God as somebody who just loves on you like a daddy. We see these different roles for God, and we have these imaginatory pictures in our head as God. And if you ask a kid, what does God look like? He pictures Moses. He'll draw a picture of Moses, the guy with the beard and the robe, and because that's the picture in their mind. And I remember that when I was a kid, thinking, who's God? Well, he stood there in heaven like this, and he was bearded, and I don't even know where I got that picture from. But then, as I got older, I began to imagine what God was truly like. What is our impression of God? What, as a parent, are you teaching your children who God is? What does he look like? As a child, your parents kind of gave you an idea of who God looked like. As we grow up, information is added to our database. And they include our experiences in church. And the sights and the sounds and the sermons and all the things that we hear at church significantly shape the image of God. Right? You know? There's a movie came out last year that a kid died and he says he went to heaven. Heaven's for real. Remember that movie? And he had an idea of what God looked like. You know? And everyone has this image of God, and some of us view him like this, some RoboCop God who's always threatening us. If you don't do this, I'm going to smack you with the holy stick, right? You need to get your life in order, or I'm going to smack you with the holy stick. Or some of, maybe we see him as just policing us or looking over our shoulder. Or maybe you need God to fix things, so you kind of see him as your spiritual mechanic, you know? And have you ever gone to your mechanic and you got your car making a noise? It's going tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick. When you turn the corner and you go to the mechanic and you say, my car's going tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick. And he says, let me drive it and find out. The mechanic is all-knowing about your car. You turn it over. You turn your car over to the mechanic and you say, I want you to fix it. Do whatever you got to do to fix it. That's what God wants us to do sometimes. I said, God, my life, my heart's just not thumping right. I've got something missing. Lord, there's a sound that I hear every time I close my eyes. It's you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. Fix it. So we have to turn it over to God. So we see this God like a mechanic, right? And so it reminds me of a guy when... He asked God, he sees God, he says, God, I want to ask you a question. He says, it was a story I read. He says, how long is a million years to you? He said, like a second. He said, well, how long is a second? Like a million years. Getting an idea who God is. He said, okay, well, how much is $1 million? It's like a penny to me. And he said, well, what's a penny? Like $1 million. And he says, well, God, can I have a penny? He says, in a second. Getting to know God, it's like sometimes we think we're reading this trick book and we have to understand, we have to ask the right questions. It's like the Wizard of Oz. If you don't look behind the curtain, you never really understand who God is. What is your view of God? Is he like you? Is he like me? What is it that he requires of you? What does he desire for you? If you have a relationship with him, we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about God and what he is to us. And as we look at this, I want us to think seriously about who God is to us. You know, we think we know. I read a little bit about Charles Schulz before I put this message together, but I got to tell you, I don't know Charles Schulz. I know facts about him, but I don't know him. We have accumulated in our imagination this thing of what God is, and it may even be secondhand. We may have gotten it from somebody else. Somebody else may have told us that this is what God is like. And it might be factual, it might be faulty, it might not be true. If we rely on our imagination alone, we can get off track pretty easily. So what else do we need? We need our imagination, but we also need God's invitation. God's invitation. And why is that important? There's a believer, or there are better methods to getting to know God instead of imagination. We rely on this invitation. You know, best way I could put this is, the greatest men alive is Billy Graham. One of the greatest men alive is Billy Graham, okay? He has been an evangelist, and he's been truthful, he's been trustworthy, he's had integrity, he's had all those things that I would like people to say about me. And I really desire to know him. And if I wanted to get to know him even better, I could go to the Billy Graham Library, and I could read books about him. I could see the museum thing they have in South Carolina, where I could go and see everything about Billy Graham. And I could learn all those things about Billy Graham. But I would never really know him unless he saw me and said, hey, Dan, would you come on over to my house this afternoon? We'll hang out a little bit. Maybe I'll get to his house. He'll be sitting by the pool in his Speedo. I don't know. Does he wear a Speedo? Picture that in your mind. Billy Graham sitting by the pool in his board shorts. We'll call it that. Okay? And, you know, he's probably got layers of security people around him, but he doesn't let people just come up to him and talk to him. You know what I mean? But if he invites me, I get right by those security people. And sometimes we think about God that way. I just can't seem to get to God. God just doesn't want to see me. But listen, God wants to see you. The only way that we can get to know God is if we accept his invitation to get closer. He extends to us an invitation. Over the years, we've accumulated so many references of what God is and what God is like. And we may not want to disturb our carefully constructed conclusions of who God is, you know, because this is, we like God like this. Because it's easy. Put God in a box and say, this is what I like about God, and this is how he does for me. And the less change, the less things we know about God, the less we have to be compelled to do something. You know? God understands our reluctance. Isaiah 1:2 says, and this isn't in your thing, so you have to just listen and trust me on this. Isaiah 1:2 says, hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. God is speaking to us. He extends an invitation to us. He wants us to listen. He wants us to respond to the initiative. He wants us to enter into this relationship with him. He wants himself to be involved in our lives. That's the kind of invitation he's talking about. Get to know him more fully. Get to know him more accurately. And after you get this invitation, the next thing is you have this revelation from God. You have God's revelation. After accepting his invitation, you get to know him. And then when phase three kicks in, you rely on the revelation of God to kick in. Right? Whatever he would say, if I were sitting at the poolside with Billy Graham, whatever he said, do you think I wouldn't take in every word of it? I'm convinced in my mind that Billy Graham doesn't say anything without purpose or meaning. But I've never seen him eat chicken. I have no idea. Maybe he says, yum, good chicken. I don't know. All I know is that whenever I hear him speak, there are millions and thousands of people that lives are changed because of what he says. And I can't read his mind. So I have to wait for him to reveal himself to me. You know? And that's what God's doing. He reveals himself the same kind of way. He is so far above us and so high above us. He totally is over us, but we are totally dependent upon him and himself disclosing himself for us. Relying on him to reveal himself to us. Know the things that concern God. You know, we start with a little bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? Remember those things? Does anybody have one of those? You don't have to be wearing it. I got one. So what would Jesus do? And so we begin to ask the question, well, if God were here, what would he do? Can you imagine one day you'll be able to ask God, what would you have done? He'd say, it wouldn't have been what you did. Oh, man, if we just accept that invitation. But see, God reveals himself. And through creation, look at Romans 1:20. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. God reveals himself to us in the day-to-day operation of the lilies. The day-to-day operation of the rocks, the mountains, the sun rising and the sun setting, the day-to-day operations of the world. That's how God reveals himself to us. So, how does he do this? How else besides creation and through those things? He also does it through Scripture, our Bible, right? And it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And if you want to get to know God, the best thing you can do is pick up the playbook and study it. And pick up your Bible, and it's just bursting with direct statements to you. And you can't possibly get to know God without knowing God's Word. You cannot get to know Him without knowing what His Word says, because that's how He talks to us. That's how he talks to us. God's primary vehicle for self-closure is the Scripture. Right? Well, that and Jesus, that's how he spoke to us, right? Hebrews chapter 1 says this. in verse 3, the sun is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so became as much superior to the angels as the name he inherited superior to theirs. Jesus reveals who God the Father is. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you get to know God. John 8:19 says, then they asked him, where's your father? What is his response? I love this. You do not know me or my father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my father also. We can't know God if we do not have a relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus is the only way to get into this relationship. Right? God is knowable. We get to know him through our imagination, right? And so we get to know him through this invitation, his revelation, and finally, our investigation. We have to investigate. We have to look. That's the thing that leads us the way to know to God is by personal investigation. The reason you're here today, hopefully, is because you're investigating what God wants you to do next in your life. And that's why we are together today. Is to see what God's going to do next, right? Have you ever had the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, and when after you get done, they say, you know, I really have some things I need to take care of first before I accept Jesus Christ in my life. Have you ever had anybody say that to you? I have. It's the dumbest sounding thing as it comes out of their mouth as I've ever heard, but to them, it makes sense. They don't want to give their life to somebody who they don't know anything about. So how do we do that? They investigate, we share with them, and then they learn who Jesus is through us, right? And if you want to get to know God, you got to figure out who he is first. As long as the person is eager to get to know with him, get to know who God is, then share this verse with them. Jeremiah 29:13. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Share that verse with them. See, look, if you want to get to know Jesus, read this verse. If you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all of your heart. That has to be the key. You're looking there. And if you are serious about getting to know God, then you get to know him. And as I promised us, you read and study the book like you've never done before. And you read and you ask God to reveal himself through the book. And get into a small group Bible study. Listen, we started Bible study on Thursday night for men and women. You need to be in Bible study. And listen, you may think, well, this is kind of basic for me. Listen, you got to get into God's word, because if you're not getting into God's word, he won't have a chance to speak to you through his word. And through others in this group. We used to push Sunday school. As a pastor, it was like, Sunday school is the heartbeat of church. And listen, if Sunday school is working and it's the heartbeat of church, praise the Lord, feed Sunday school. I've tried Sunday school. I've been in churches where Sunday school works. I've been in churches where Sunday school doesn't work. I've been in churches where pastor said, we're having a Sunday night service. I said, why? There's only two of us. He said, as long as I'm breathing and you're breathing, we're going to be at church Sunday night. Well, praise Jesus, we'll be there. So my wife and I, every Sunday night, went to church. All six of us sat there and had a worship service together. Talk about the captive class, you know. You need to get into Bible study. And there are some of us who are in Bible study already here. Some of us go to a Bible study that belongs to another church. Some of us have been going to this thing called Bible Study Fellowship that's been around for years and years and years. It's a great program. It's not affiliated with any church. It just happens on a Tuesday morning somewhere in the metro area. And they go and they meet. They have Bible study. And then those people go back to their church and share the love of God on Sunday. And there's no, hey, that's my church, that's my church, that's your church. It's nothing like that at all. They're sharing God's word together. And when you share God's word together, you're going to grow. So get involved with Bible study. Do you know God? How well do you know God? So one of Paul's prayers, Ephesians 1:17. What does it say? It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may get to know him better. really. Expose your mind to the Bible. Start where you are. Expose your mind to God's word. And then correct your mental image of who he is as you go along. Yeah, you may see him as the big gray-bearded guy in the sky. And then you see a provider and you say, oh, well, he's a provider. You know? Allow him to cut away these misconceptions you have of who he is and perceptions. Maybe they're not wrong. They just need to be added to. You know? Have you ever noticed how much we as people like to brag? Oh, man, I have pulled my arm muscles so many times by patting myself on the back. And I want us to know that we like to brag about degrees and the promotion we got. And we like to brag about our cars or our kids or how many important people we knew. I used to think it was so important because I had a key to everything. What I had was a lump of keys that ripped my pockets. It didn't make me any more important, but I was bragging about it. I had a key to everything, you know, when I was in college, you know. But look what it says in Jeremiah. It says, let not the wise man boast. Jeremiah 9:23. Is that what we have there? Let not the wise man boast of his own wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man of his riches. See, we're prone to boast about these things, wealth, wisdom, power, strength, you know. We learned about Solomon last week, and he got caught up in the pursuit of something beautiful, and he got caught up in the pursuit of wives and girlfriends. And we honor things like Einstein's brilliance. We honor things like Michael Jordan's athletic ability, you know. We honor things like Roosevelt's leadership. Trump brags about how much money he's got, and he's very rich, right? And then Hillary brags about all she's accomplished, right? I've done so much. It seems like we've created this atmosphere of bragging. Even the guy who seems kind of humble about the whole thing, what's his name, Bill Gates? He said, I'm a billionaire. I have the money. I can do what I want. We get to the point where we brag, and let's be honest, most of us don't really qualify to be bragging in any of these categories. We're all just creations of Christ. Verse 24 says this. What does it say? It says, let him boast, but let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth, for in this I delight. You see, that's what we're to boast in. We're to boast in our relationship with God. And do you remember the guy, Jim Baker? You guys don't remember because you were just babies then or not even around. Jim Baker was the guy who set the televangelist world upside down. He built this mega televised church, and he did this thing. And he got so big, he ended up spending 5 years in prison for bilking his followers, taking money. You know, and he recounts his spiritual journey behind bars. He finally comes to his conclusion. He says that God sent him to prison for a very important reason. He had become concerned with building a name for himself, so concerned that somewhere along the way, he forgot about God. It became Baker Ministries. And that's where we fall. That's where we fall. We have to get to know God where he really is. You know, it's important. And I have to wonder sometimes, what does he have to do to get our attention? What does he have to do for me to pay attention to him? And what does it say? What do I have to do? Does anybody have any ideas? Psalm 46:10, look it up right now. I'll wait, because I think you should read this right in front of your own eyes. Psalm 46:10. What does it say, honey? That's what you have to do. Be still and know that I am God. Hosea 6:3 challenged us to press on to acknowledge the Lord, right? If you're still and you know that He is God, He'll speak to you. Then you can move forward. And you can do what it says in Psalm 34, 8. Trust and see that the Lord is good. Right? It's like getting married and just getting to know your wife off her resume. How's that going to work out for you? Taking a bunch of resumes, just pick a wife. They said, don't spend any time getting to know her. You're just going to hire her for the next lifetime. How does that work out? It won't. It doesn't work like that. You got to get to know this person. You got to get to know who God is. So here's our final exam. It has nothing to do with Charles Schulz. So let me ask you this. You tell me who I'm talking about. He is holy. He's our creator. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's faithful. He's just. He's sovereign. He's challenging. He's unchanging. He's loving. Do you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about God. And each of us are going to have to take this final exam one day. And there's going to be one question on this sheet. And the question is going to be simply this. Do you know Jesus? That's it. I love the book of Job. Such an encouraging book, you know. You read the book of Job, and it's got all this pain and all this agony and all these things that he went through, all this faith and hope and all these things. And at the end of the book, God had recited this litany of powerful acts, right? And Job is speechless. And listen to what he says in verse 42:5. He says, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Some of us are in the same place this morning. Our ears have heard of this God who loves us, but now we need to see this God who loves us. Do you know him? Not I've heard of him. Not do you go to church? Not did you go to Sunday school? Not did you give your money every week? Not did you work? Did you serve the homeless? It's not that's not the question he's going to ask you when you get there. The question is, do you know God? And I know a lot of us right now would say, yeah, I know God. But now let me ask you this. Do you know God? Have you had that interview with him yet? Have you sat down with him on a daily basis and says, Lord, what do you want to tell me today? What do you want to tell me today? I have this friend. His name is Doug Crowder. Doug was kind of a, you know, you met Doug. He was here this last year. And I knew Doug. He was my youth minister for 1 year. But in the 1 year, he challenged me to do a bunch of things. And he loved me beyond where I was. And he kind of drug me into church and got me hooked, right? And so, in my mind, I thought I knew who Doug was. I really didn't know who Doug was. Till one day, Doug said, would you come and live with me? And I want you to live with me and help take care of these youth up here. I said, sure, I'll do that. I went and lived with Doug. Doug's a great guy, but I do not want to live with Doug. You know? But when I lived with him, I found out about him. We went to coffee every morning. I gained 100 pounds that year. We went for coffee, biscuits, gravy, and a pastry every morning. Not because I wanted to go eat coffee, pastry, and a biscuit and gravy. It was because I wanted to get to know this guy. And you know, that's what God is like for us. Sometimes we get in a situation where we live with God and we think, man, I don't want God to see this, so I'm going to do this over. But he's living with you. So you might as well act like you're living with God. So get to know him every day. Sit down at the ice rink with a muffin and a cup of coffee and talk to God. Or wherever it is you sit and do that. But you got to get to know him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to be challenged to know God better. And as we look at who God is over the next few weeks, I pray that you would show us in Scripture what it means to be God. Father, that we have more than just somebody who we can talk to, somebody that we can drop our stuff off with and leave it. Father, that we have somebody who's more than just a doctor that we plug into when we need a healing. A father that quenches our thirst when we're thirsty. Lord, I just pray that we would understand who you are in the next few weeks. But today, if there's someone here who does not have that relationship with you, I pray this morning that they would take the first step and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for those of us who have already done that, I pray that you would help us to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're not going to cut them off this time.